Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Program. The Program audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The program is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about the program at www.rustyquill.com or www.programaudioseries.com or search for the Program Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.
Hi guys, Alex here. Firstly, me and the rest of the gang at Rusty Towers want to thank everyone who took the time to vote for us in the 2016 Podcast Awards. We were once again completely bowled over by everybody's support and want to let you know you all put the Sir in Sir Bertram McGuffingham. Right, now that our everlasting love and undying gratitude is out of the way, we have some good news, which is good, and some bad news, which is less good. The good news is, in addition to lining up a whole new run of special guests, we're in the final stages of organising a shiny new website, merchandise, a Patreon with exclusive rewards, convention appearances, and much more. Unfortunately, that puts me in a bit of a pickle, because organising all that takes time which I just don't have. We currently have a team of editors working on the Magnus archives, but Rusty Quill Gaming is edited entirely by yours truly, and with its full soundscapes and much longer runtime, it is a mammoth task. In fact, it's so big that I've been having trouble just keeping up. With that in mind, I'm sorry to say that we are temporarily going to have to drop down to releasing episodes every 2 weeks until we are able to get some more editors on board. I'm really sad to do it, but like I said, it's only temporary and it will free up the time I need to really get Rusty Towers on the map. With that in mind, if you have any experience editing sound and want to help keep our tower rusty, please get in contact with us via our email, Twitter, Facebook, or forums. I personally guarantee that anyone who steps up will be on first name terms with Bertie and be my personal best friend for life. So yeah, this means after today there won't be a new episode for another fortnight. We'll let you know as soon as we're able to return to our weekly schedule and we'll provide regular updates on social media in the meantime. Thanks for listening, guys, and enjoy today's episode. Welcome to episode 41 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me for yet another exciting adventure, I have...
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas.
And who are you playing?
Sylph Smith,
Hamasala Harun Altahan,
Sasha Rackett.
And we still have no Bertie McGuffingham after he departed.
No.
On a train to nowhere, let's say.
Ignoring Hamid's cries.
Yeah, he's probably off having some sort of exciting, sexy adventure. That's what I'm guessing.
I just assume that he's in a hotel getting pampered and having his nails done.
Having an exciting, sexy adventure.
Yeah.
He's just
in a jacuzzi.
He's just staring at his soothing finger again, just passing enormous amounts of time staring
probably
at his own hand.
Probably warm and safe.
So, I'm afraid that leaves the rest of us. Well, you, after finding out a bit of world news, you did eventually, via some dodgy addresses, eventually make your way to finding... Amelie Rose's mother, who seemed... I liked her.
Madame Rose.
Madame
I liked
Rose.
Her too. She's kick-ass older women. You know,
yeah,
Miss
yeah.
Marple. Excellent.
She was on it.
Yeah.
And she gave you a lot of the missing pieces of the puzzle, thanks to a dead hand policy box,
yeah,
which her daughter had left. And
she was one of those helpful NPCs that just tells you what to do, so you don't have to think too hard about how to solve the plot yourself.
And I believe that whilst most of you still didn't really have much of an idea of the grand scheme, you certainly seem to have decided that maybe Notre Dame, maybe the catacombs were worth checking out, either way.
Basically, we got the impression that this all goes much deeper and much darker than the thing is,
both figuratively and literally.
Look, the names on the list, the only one who's still around is Francois Henri, and we know he can potentially change our memories.
Or whatever's controlling him.
Yeah, and everyone else has had mysterious and strange good things happen
excellent
to them.
Things.
And moved far away.
Nothing sinister or bad ever happened with unexpected good news, so everything's probably fine, probably.
Yeah. Seems like the sort of quest that can't go wrong. If you do get caught, then just excellent something things happen.
Great happens
so
to you. That's a good way to point to look at it, actually.
Yeah. I've got you now, and ooh! What's behind this curtain? It's a new car!
Now, it's interesting you say that. So, smash cut to Prague. Hamid, you're now the dean of the university. Cut to Sasha.
Wait. You am I a dragon?
Of course.
Because then it's not a happy
you're
ending.
You're two dragons.
Yes!
So, what we'll do is we'll say... We will accelerate time a bit because, presumably, having finished talking to Madame Rose, you... headed home. It's a long journey, so I might just skip ahead, say, you took your tiny little vehicles back.
Mm-hmm. Had another massive meal.
Had an enormous meal.
Yes.
And rested, so now I am back up to the hit points.
Oh yeah, don't rested. Take any damage? I don't think I took any damage.
Because I took a lot of damage. And so,
did you? I didn't notice.
And Zolf's healing only got me so far back up, so I'm now back to okay.
Yep. And we will pick up the next morning. You have woken up, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and we will skip past the enormous breakfast. Otherwise, we will have 10 minutes of RPing deliciousness again.
So, Notre Dame to go in or find a different entrance?
Yeah, like, we should obviously go in as like tourists or whatever to case the joint, and then maybe like look around for ways to get in underneath.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it wouldn't be too hard to just go around Notre Dame during the day and look around.
Yeah.
I mean, if we want to go into the catacombs, I don't know if it'd be easier to get in at night when there's less people to see us.
Yeah, I wonder if there's tourism
sneaking,
in the tombs.
Sneaking in.
Might be easier to bluff our way into the archaeological dig than the Notre Dame, though.
Well, but Notre Dame will have just have tourists, wouldn't it?
Well, let's give it a go, you know?
Sightseeing!
So second breakfast and then Notre Dame?
Yes, we'll have to make it a quick one, I think, though.
Yeah, of course. Second breakfast is always pretty quick, especially after first breakfast was that big.
For the sake of speed, we will cut ahead past second breakfast to...
We're cutting past
but it's the
meals.
Second most important meal of the day!
We will skip ahead to... Oh, you've tickled Bryn. We will skip to the approach to Notre Dame. So Sasha, thanks to her time amongst the gargoyles, has a really good idea of the sort of layout of Paris on the macro scale, because, I mean, she's seen all of it from the top down, and she had people guiding her. So you're able to get everyone there very easily. On the approach to the cathedral, the first thing that you notice
is... Oh, a pigeon.
The bells.
The bells are ringing, actually. Funny you should say that. I realise you're just trying to make my edit hard, but I'm going to make it worse, so don't worry. There are bells ringing continuously. I don't know if you've sort of been there in reality. There's an open space out front and so on. There are a lot of tourists. There are some sort of walking tours going on. There is an enormous amount of completely golden armoured paladins wandering around. It's weird. They give a sort of American football hero kind of vibe in that all of them seem attractive. Men, women, it doesn't matter. Like, they all seem to have a very radiant glow about them. Really, really, like, physically attractive. The glass circle of Notre Dame at the face is actually, in this reality, a large symbol of a sun. The cathedral itself...
Which means it's...
Apollo. And rather than it being sort of austere, it's completely coloured. So all of the facades, all of the cornicing, everything, very, very brightly coloured. Bordering on garishly. Every single statue, their clothing is coloured, their face is coloured, their hair is coloured. It's like looking at a very busy painting. But on the ground levels, like we're saying, paladins everywhere, a lot of priests going around. There's a small number of supplicants who will sort of come up, and then a paladin will sort of reach out, and or a cleric will reach out, and they're clearly doing some minor healing as well. But it doesn't really seem very orderly. It seems very sort of ad hoc, do whatever. There's no queues or anything like that. The doors are wide open, and there is a full male and female choir on either side of the doors singing.
It's very flashy in a way that all of the Poseidon stuff was very austere and secretive and insular. This is the exact opposite of that in every way, every sense.
This might be a little bit more difficult with the paladins trotting about. On the flip side, you know, you can trust the paladin, so we could always just ask if we can go in.
Speaking of which, one comes up. Ladies, gentlemen, is there anything that I can be doing for you this fair morning? Courtesy of the great god Apollo who brought us this morning.
Good morning. We were hoping for a tour of the cathedral.
Oh, of course. There are multiple tours. Honestly, if you can just find someone who's walking by, of course I could show you around myself if you'd prefer.
Do the tours include the crypts underneath?
Oh, I'm afraid not, I'm afraid not, my little man. The catacombs, etc. are completely off limits.
I didn't know that. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Very interesting.
Any of you in need of a heal or anything like that?
Just tap my trident. It's like, no, they've got that covered, thank you.
Oh, I didn't see you there. Hello. Goodness me. It's good to see a fellow cleric. I want to say cleric.
Yeah.
What are you doing so far from the coast? Honestly, you're out of your jurisdiction.
We're by a river.
That's a... You're a sharp one.
We're
like you.
We're on an island.
Technically, yes.
So...
Isn't, like, eventually everything is an island?
No, she's a profound one, isn't she?
No, but this is actually an island.
Oh, right. Got to get our escape routes covered.
Yes,
so... we were just hoping to look around and see a bit about Notre Dame.
Well, if you'd like, I can show you around.
That would be lovely, thank you.
Excellent. He begins his tour, and it becomes rapidly apparent as he begins walking around. He starts by doing a sort of lap of the actual sort of island and talking about things. He has a memorised rote passage, the broad history of it. As time passes, it becomes readily apparent that he's been really competitive with other paladins who are also showing people around. So anytime there's a tour and his tour comes up, they'll be like, and here you can see this frieze was originally dedicated. And here you can see this frieze was dedicated. And he's very
I'm going brash to ask every Dorunk I see, I'm going to ask, oh, is that the one to the crypt? I don't want to go through a door I'm not allowed to go through.
So once you've done the tour of the outer island, he takes you inside. And for once, finally, passing through the doors, he lowers his voice and goes, now we do have to be a bit quiet in here, so watch your volume, etc.
Quite.
Over here you've got, and lots of frowning faces and so on, and he proceeds to just go through the numbers. It is genuinely very interesting. The only reason I'm skipping past it is it takes a good 3 hours. It's very fulsome. He seems utterly tireless, just ploughing on and on and on. Every time you ask a question, his answer is always, I'll have to ask one of the clerics about it in a bit. He has his memorised rote, but that's all he's got. And whenever you ask about the doors, it's always a, no, not quite, my little man, but, you know, I'll let you know if it comes up.
About hour one. Sasha might sneak off.
Go for it. Give me a stealth check.
Ooh, 16.
The paladin doesn't notice you leaving.
Yep.
He is reciting something about one of the minor chapels coming off the side.
Neither of us do.
Yeah, we just rolled as well. Neither of us noticed Sasha leaving.
You find yourself in a side chapel. There is a couple of people kneeling, praying to lit candles and so on. Hamid and Zolf have moved off, not aware that you've ducked out, still listening to the various
and
names.
And this portrait is of a large person.
Yeah. Very good, very good.
That is a very big person. Yeah.
So what do you do, Sasha?
All people are pretty big, and from my perspective.
Firstly, just wander around on her own.
Sure.
And like quite enjoy the fact that there's these wonderful sharp shadows, because even if they've lit it very brightly, there's all those wonderful pillars.
Yeah, yeah.
There will be shadows, so just enjoy sort of like sneaking behind people and be like, ooh.
I'd say, I'm not even going to get you to do a stealth roll. The place is so garish and the paladins are so over the top. The clerics, for what it's worth, are a lot less over the top. They're a bit more austere. But nonetheless, like, there's so much going on, you're not even needing to make rolls. Like, you can start in the shadows, but it becomes readily apparent very quickly that stealth is not required in this place.
She will then basically try and follow the staff and try and work out where the actual operations are. So the kind of people that are selling things at the gift shop or the kind of people that are cleaning around and just sort of try and work out where are the places where the tourists don't go.
Okay.
That might be the way in.
So I'll go into a broader description of the actual building itself and give you a bit more of a layout. So you have that large sun symbol at the entrance, a lot of stained glass windows, things like that around the edges. The centre is still, you know, taken up by a number of pews. However, at the end, furthest from the main entrance doors, there is a huge, potentially actually genuinely solid gold statue of Apollo. And by huge, I mean about 30 feet tall. He's on a chariot. It's a very dynamic one where the chariot is sort of towing the sun, which is low down. There's an enormous amount of gold in it to the point where if it is real, it's invaluably expensive. And also almost certainly magic was involved in the construction or something, because that's tons.
I'll cast Detect Magic a few times so I can see what's magical around as we're going on the tour.
It's more, there's more magic kicking around than when you're in the Cavern of Poseidon, actually. And there's more of it being used for more mundane things as well, like floating candelabras and things like that. And you see that the ceiling is a massive picture. The whole pantheon are there, but it is them witnessing approvingly a sunrise. However, as you are sort of going around, you detect magic on it. It is magical. And you start to notice that it's actually depicting the passage of the sun in real time, and occasionally the gods will move and things like that.
Dolph still thinks it's tacky.
Sasha, it becomes very clear that this central space is very much intended for tourists. There are a large number of doors leading off to the sides and to the higher levels and so on. It becomes clear that all of the balconies overlooking it, there are no tourists, that is just clerics and paladins.
Okay. I might ask someone. Hello! I heard that you got these wonderful, like, spooky catacombs, and, you know, always one for haunting me. And I wondered if there were ever any, like, tours around them.
The cleric that you have popped up at takes one and goes, I'll just fetch someone for you.
All right,
steps
cheers.
Across, grabs a paladin, female paladin, she comes along. Hello! Sorry, I heard you had a question. What was your question?
I'm just interested about, like, the catacombs.
Oh, you can't go to the catacombs. Those are off limits to the public.
Are they? But, like, do ghosts and skeletons and stuff ever, like, escape and come up?
You don't need to worry. We're all capable of dealing with such things.
Oh, so is that why there's so many people here? Because you do get skeletons coming up.
Oh, once upon a time, back in... The rote begins. They start talking. It is effectively saying that once upon a time, yeah, the catacombs were rancid with creatures. However, one of the first things that the new Church of Apollo did once they set up Notre Dame was send people down and cleansed as much as they could find. And yeah, the explanation, it just goes on and on. And then she starts trying to lead you, and you see that she's actually leading you on the route that you just took about 20 minutes ago, and starts just heading into the rote.
I think it's... I'm all right, actually. Just let go of my hand. I'm fine. I don't need to...
Of course you're fine. All of these clerics, we are capable and the most prolific healers in the entire city.
Right. I don't know. I've got some friends waiting for me. Please. It's very pretty. All the bright colours.
I'm afraid
nice.
It's falling on deaf ears. Unless you literally pull yourself away and try to sneak away, you're doing this tour.
Look, I can see my friends, like, right over there.
No, it's not happening.
Oh, no, please stop.
I'm cutting
stop
ahead.
Stop telling me all this information. I don't need it. I don't want it. No.
I'm cutting ahead.
Education.
Sasha, you are just coming out of the front having experienced not only the first hour twice, but the second hour, which she then proceeded to do. And she had a grip like iron and was pulling you the whole way.
No! The loudest that Sasha has been.
Zolf and Hamid, you are outside and you see Sasha finally extricate Sasha herself from another tour.
I've bought some street food.
Sure, yeah, you'll be there. And you finally reconvene outside the front. You can hear more paladins loudly declaiming exactly the same words as they lead everyone on a subtly clockwise route.
Would you like a snail? They're really good.
Did you know that the statue in the left pedestal?
We got it too.
It was erected in 1530, but it got defaced in 1545 by someone that wanted to pay for their own statue to be in that place. So the face isn't original. And did you know that the...
Actually, I have a question.
The sun, it works in real time. Yeah, it follows the path.
Sasha, you seem traumatised. It'll be okay, Sasha.
The hair in the Apollo statue is...
I actually had a question, which I just thought
real.
Of.
What?
And you might know this, because you're religious too. Why is Far it away? Called Notre Dame? Because Notre Dame means Our Lady.
I know, make a knowledge religion.
Go for it.
16.
Do you have history?
Yes, also 16.
So, for your knowledge history, you know that originally there was a building upon the site that was dedicated to one of the meritocrats. And it was eventually repurposed for the Church of Apollo with their permission, but it is actually dedicated to... The land was originally named for one of the meritocrats.
Good lady. Who ended up in a lovely meritocrat marriage.
Although,
to the tramp.
There is an interesting... There is an interesting historical tidbit, which is no one's quite sure which one it was dedicated to. It was dedicated, but due to an ambiguity in the actual deeds and papers and so on, that it's dedicated to
one of them.
Our Lady, but they don't actually know which meritocrat it is. It's like a little peccadillo.
Most likely the Parisian one, but not necessarily.
Basically, what he said.
Oh, thank you, Zolf. That's really interesting.
Always happy to help.
Definitely.
In fact, actually, if you look forward here... Oh, sorry. I'm sorry, Sasha. Okay.
You're in a safe space. There's no learning. So
what do you want to do this afternoon? I mean, if we go to the archaeological dig, I still think we should wait till after,
We can have a mooch about.
I think we should look at it. I think that, like, maybe if we could just head underground. I think that would be great. I think we should just head underground.
The alternative is we just go through the sewer.
Yeah, like... Underground's great.
I don't like sewers.
No one likes them. They're full of poo.
It was unpleasant last time we went to a sewer.
Yes. Oh, was it? Was it?
I had to dive in after you.
Fair enough.
Although, after it was, you didn't end up swimming in any pool.
I didn't, but there was still...
Residue.
So what is your plan?
Right, I think it's go to the dig site, right?
Underground, yes.
I mean, we could have a nap. I mean, if we go exploring have overnight, a nap. We should have a nap before we do that.
Hammond, this hotel life has really had its effect on you. We've got a job to do.
I want to case the joint in the light, and then we can head
have a nap.
Underground.
Sure.
Have a nap if you want. I'll be fine sleeping
around about
you. I'm just
saying, maybe up all night. Well, I'd like to have a nap
in which case, why don't you go have a nap? Myself.
Well, I'll come with you this point. I'm just saying we should build a nap into the schedule.
So what's your plan?
Well, first of all, we're going to have a nap around about 3:30.
Okay. More importantly,
let's go to the dig.
I need to know.
Let's go to the dig.
First or second lunch?
Good question.
I'm heading off in the direction of the archaeological dig.
We will cut
muttering
off the,
facts.
We will cut off this conversation as a paladin rocks up going, oh, are you interested in a tour?
No, we're fine.
No!
Cutting ahead.
But I'm getting a tour of the river.
Cutting ahead. Can you give me a knowledge
is
local
is he worth
session?
A drowning?
20. Okay.
Not a natural one.
You sure? You make your way quite easily.
Unnatural.
Hamid, you start to get a little bit lost because you're taking down the non-touristy aspects of Paris, side streets and so on. Sasha, you actually take a really efficient beeline route through all of the back streets and you start pulling away from the main part of the city and actually back towards the sort of dingier side. Not the really, like, not Eiffel's Folly or anything like that, but you're heading more towards the sort of district that Le Grand Gazette's in. And eventually you start coming down and you head down a rather steep slope. And it seems to be maybe some kind of drainage or something similar, almost like it's something for storm drains, things like that. But heading down, eventually you come beneath a bridge. There, it's a large bridge, it's clearly very old construction, and there appears to be a large amount of construction at the base of the bridge. They are making use of earth elementals, multiple ones, you see, slowly moving around, heading into beneath this tunnel, which is well lit. There are a number of sort of keepers for the elementals, and a number of what look to be archaeologists, things like that, sorting through items outside at the base of the bridge. It's still good weather, and it's clear that this is the dig that you were heading towards.
All right, that looks like a good way in.
I told you it'd be quite busy. I mean, it'd just be better to come back when
there's easily about 40 people here.
Yeah, we just wanted to see it.
Yeah. And we could ask them what's going on.
But yeah, interested.
You should probably do that, yeah. Because they might start listing facts again.
Maybe you can claim from university.
Yeah, yeah. Say we come on a job from the British Museum even, and so...
I can ask them what's going on. At least.
Someone
yes.
who's clearly a foreman has already started coming over, having seen you. He's wearing basically a hard hat. It's only just steel and plain, but he's quite a small man, a little bit portly, and he has a sort of a nervous air to him, carrying a clipboard.
Who are you? What are you here for? Sorry.
We don't have any official business. We're actually...
Rubbernecking here, sorry. We've got quite a lot of work to do, well, enough without having to deal with people like yourselves.
No, I do understand. When I say we don't have any official business necessarily, I mean, we're actually...
Terry, put that down. You know that has to go to Collection B.
On a job from the British Museum.
He takes a moment. No. You guys aren't here till Thursday. We were very clear about that. You're not here till the Thursday.
Exactly, but we just wanted to get a step ahead of ourselves and just make sure there's nothing we need to...
His manner
any other things we have to do first, just before
His
Thursday.
His manner seems very, very irate. The second that you mentioned the British Museum, rather than being more conducive, it's gone the exact opposite way. Now, you listen here. We were very clear with you about what your conditions are. You're lucky that you're allowed in this dig at all. Frankly, you guys have been so appropriationist with everything that we've dug up before that you're lucky that we're letting you hear it all. So you're going to listen to me. You're going to get back. And you clearly touched a really raw nerve by mentioning the British Museum.
I'll be very apologetic and just...
Give me a diplomacy roll.
Yeah. 25.
Yeah, you managed to sort of bring the situation back down using skill. It's clear that... You fluked upon a really sore topic, but yeah, you managed to talk him back down. He's just like, right, sorry, I
totally understand that. I mean, I admit we haven't always done as well as we could in the past, so we'll leave it to it. We didn't mean to intrude.
No, it's fair enough.
We just wanted to make sure we were doing it right this time.
Yeah.
So, get advance notice.
Contravene any of your regulations. Exactly. So, but we'll leave it all till Thursday if that's
honestly,
what's best for you.
Come on, I'll show you the basic entrance, but I'm not taking any deeper than
that.
No,
of course.
And he proceeds to take you towards the main entrance. It's clear that what appears to be a sort of earthen tunnel when you're getting closer isn't actually that. In the foundations of the bridge, there's actually a gated doorway, so it looks like very, very heavy wrought iron. But the reason that there's so much crusting around the outside is, as you see yet another earth elemental duck in, a bit of them just sort of scrapes on the top and so on. So it's given it this kind of crusty, earthen look. Sure. But it's actually completely worked stone.
Yeah.
So yeah, heading down, it's very, very busy. There's clearly a really big effort been made. There's obviously something, a big project taking place. Heading down, it heads down the tunnel, and after maybe 5 minutes of walking, lots of stopping, Earth Elemental goes past. Keep walking, stop. A cart of wrapped items is brought up and so on. Leads you down.
Can we see anything about the shape of these items?
Honestly, most of them are encased in like mud and filth.
Can't appraise anything.
Not really. You'd have to dust them off. You'd have to do some basic archaeology to get them into a state where you can appraise them.
That's for other people.
Lesser appraisers. Mm. Eventually, you get brought down into what turns out to be quite a large cavern, and it has a very gothic air, and I mean that in the artistic gothic sense, not just a sort of general vibe.
Everyone's wearing black,
moaning. Really bass music's playing,
sort of drone music.
So
lots of eyeliner. Or is that just hammered?
Takes the sleeves off, put them off, full goth gear. So there's a
no, I've put them on, so I'm wearing a hard hat.
Ah, clever. So it's not a real hard hat, so if anything falls, you're taking loads of damage.
But the hard hat, it does nothing!
So it is a low vaulted ceiling. It's not huge, it's not elaborate. It's very clear that this is not a space for the public to be in. There are a large number of small alcoves around the side with little identifying plaques beneath. And the former's just going, so obviously we're... generally speaking, the deeper in you go, the older these are.
Of course.
What you're in here is the skull containment number, flipping through 6. Obviously, we've removed all of these for the sake of decency. They've been buried off-site. Nothing of particular interest was found. Obviously, you've got east, you've got north, you've got west. You already know about northern wing. That's the one that you're going to be dealing with.
Yes.
East and west, of course, is leading off into the separate areas. Please do not take the western tunnel it heads towards. Eventually, apparently, it heads towards the Ordinatists. Please do not go near them. They have a private lease on all of the subterranean land.
Of course. I heard the east. You haven't fully explored the eastern one yet, even.
We're still doing a lot of work on the eastern side. Honestly, it's not really your concern.
No,
I appreciate
of course, your comment, of course. Sorry,
but yeah,
just interested. I'll try to restrain myself.
And then he carries on and points down to the northern, and it's very clear that whatever the English team that he thinks you are bringing to the table is experts on the architectural side, and he's talking about more the foundations of the city. Obviously, it's such a warren that even though he says the northern tunnel, eastern tunnel, western tunnel, within about 50 yards, that meaning ceases completely because it's so winding and
Is there any indication which direction would that Notre Dame would be in.
No, not really.
Yeah.
In a literal sense, the catacombs beneath Paris are a maze.
Yeah.
So eastern, northern, and western is literally just talking about
from that,
these three points are more or less vaguely western, vaguely eastern, vaguely northern. But even then, as he goes on, he explains, and he just starts doing a really boring health and safety thing. Do not stray from the following things. We've marked everything that you can go at. Anything that was marked with a red, you have to avoid. Structurally unsafe. Anything marked with a green may have some kind of miasma, things like that. Steer clear of that. They have a notation system set up for the areas that they are exploring in this dig.
Is there any maps around?
I'll
ask him if they've mapped it out.
Oh, for goodness sake. Look, I've given you all of the documents. For God, wait here. Goes off. You hear a conversation that broadly comes down to the British are here, the other one, oh, for God's sake, blah, 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 blah. He comes back with a fairly thick folder. You're lucky that we knew you'd need a second copy. He passes it to you. Everything that you need's in there, all of the details of the dig. Just be on time this time, okay?
I thank him profusely and apologise even more profusely.
Like, well, as fun as this was, I actually have to get back to my work.
So
you can show yourselves out, thank you.
Yes.
And he just strides off and starts berating one of the elemental handlers for sending him down the wrong tunnel.
I might sneak off.
Interesting. Well, I think that if there's a way for all of us to get lost, this might be a good opportunity.
You tell me.
Like how many people are around as we sort of very slowly start heading back towards the entrance?
A lot.
Yeah.
Like, there's maybe six earth elementals which are sifting through the dirt. Really interestingly for, probably not Hamid because he's a bit more experienced on these, it's really peculiar in that they seem to have their hands on the ground and one side is sucking up dirt into the actual body and it begins to make up the body and then sucking it back down the other arm, and occasionally something will filter out the back. It appears that they are incredibly efficiently just sifting through their bodies is how they're sifting it, and then walking back, another earth elemental literally steps out of what looks like a solid wall in front of you, passes through the wall again on the other side. They're that moving through it like air.
That would be so useful for sneaking around. In a wall. I can only get next to walls.
But there are at least 30 employees. It's very busy. Yeah. I mean, you get the very clear impression that if you were to head down even just a couple of tunnels, it would get very quiet very quickly. Mm. What I would say is no one seems to be paying attention to you. No one's batting an eyelid. The hard hat seems to actually be doing a good lot of the work. Is anyone who turns an eye sees the hard hat, mutters something about inspections, and then carries on. So no one's really paying any attention.
Right, see, this is a technique I've used before. You just put on a glowing top and everyone thinks that you're in charge. Very.
Do we want to do this now or come back later?
What? This might be our best opportunity, but...
Oh, no, we're lost. I wonder which way is the way out.
If we just...
By the way, you're saying this on a long, straight, very clear and obvious which is the way out.
I wonder, well, we've got turned around.
If we just stride off confidently in one direction, if I look like I'm sort of ushering you that way.
Okay, lead on.
We might be able to get away with it.
That'd be great. And he already thinks the British are incompetent, so it's kind of believable if we get stopped.
I think so.
So which direction do you take?
National identity.
We will say that whilst there are small side ones, again, they are small. Like, a lot of them, it's very clear it's a nook and nothing more. Broadly speaking, you are going to have to pick north, east, or west from that central point, because that's where anything that actually has any distance to
east
it.
East is the one...
East is the one that the foreman suggested headed towards the Ordinatist's bit.
Let's head down that one. I point towards the Ordinatist.
Yeah. Quickly and confidently, like we're doing the right thing, then.
All right. How do I do that?
Just follow him.
Okay.
So, you head down the east tunnel. Yep. Obviously, you are now having to walk quite confidently, as if you knew what you're doing.
So, I'm thinking of this as a bluff rather than a stealth roll, because it's a social...
Can you? I will allow you to cover for everyone, because the hard hat people assume that you're the one who's in charge.
Good, because my bluff is bad.
I rolled a 16. 16? So
25. 25, yeah, no one assumes. What I am going to get you to do, though, is make some very quick decisions, because part of this bluff is you know where you're going. So I'm going to give you some decisions, and unless someone tells me otherwise, I'm going to let Hamid make the decision since he's quote-unquote leading you.
Sasha would have a very good idea of being able to navigate underground and a sense of direction.
So technically, knowing the sort of direction of things when you're in conditions like underground or in a blizzard would normally come under survival. But I totally agree that contextually, Sasha would have an easier time dealing with things underground.
Like, she doesn't know the way around Paris underground, but she'd be able to say, as you turn through different things, like, I don't know whether the tunnel continues that way, but that is the right way.
Do you have... What knowledges do you have?
I only have local...
Then what I'll do is give me a flat wisdom check. So just roll it and then add your wisdom modifier.
I am quite wise. So that's 11.
11. So the problem that you have is that whilst you are able normally to do this, everything's really interesting. Because as you're walking through, you do walk through parts and there appears to be a full set of armour, but intended for a skeleton and things like that. Where it's like really,
you could wear it.
Like really off the wall stuff that you've never seen before. Like you get distracted too easily. Someone's digging up a contraption. It looks like it's
a
primitive
that.
Dig.
Yeah.
And the problem is, you just get so distracted that you're like, okay, cool, I know where.
Oh
no!
Ooh, shiny.
Yeah. So you just end up losing it. But Hamid, I need you to make some quick decisions for me. Are you ready? Left or right?
Left.
Left or right?
Right.
Forwards or right?
Forwards.
Forwards or right?
Forwards.
Left or forwards?
Left.
Turn to page 23.
Okay. Yeah. Eventually, you manage to place
interesting,
yourself...
Interesting interesting sound in that, okay.
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 You
okay.
Manage
He's
going to
have fun, are we?
Yeah.
You leave the work behind. I will presume that to cover your bluff, you have been looking through the portfolio as you're walking.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, busy.
Yeah,
business work. So,
documents. Got to keep the documents documented.
Part of the notation system that's very clear on the health and safety side is red means structurally unsound.
Yep, the man said that.
Yep, green is... They called them miasmas. Yellow is for unexplored and unknown. So it's a case of, we're just drawing a line here.
Yeah.
Because it gets so convoluted that there's no way of really knowing where it ends up.
Sasha is going to leave a slash with her oldest dagger in the corner of every time that we make a turning.
Uh-huh. And they also mentioned that blue is to do with utilities. So whether there are power cables, a tunnel, existing things like that. But it's more things like... It may not be unsound and fall on you if you go there, but there's a good chance you might cut off power to a block and things like that. You find yourself in a yellow district. So it's not particularly dangerous or anything like that, but as the people slowly drop away, you get the notation. So eventually you realise you're at the edge of their explored dig. It is still vaulted ceilings. As you've been moving on, there have been more items in the alcoves to the side. And it just so happens that in this aspect of the... of the alcoves, you're mostly dealing with human remains. So you happen to be in a part where there's an enormous amount of indexed femurs. So it's just leg bone, leg bone, leg bone, leg bone, leg bone, with a little plaque and an ID number. But nonetheless, you are in an area where almost everything is back in the walls. Occasionally, there is an extremely damaged statue in a corner or so on, water damage and things like that, where what used to be a face is now just a blank mask. And what used to be fingers have eroded away into just lumps. They're still vaguely human looking, but it's quite sinister. It is certainly, there's no natural light down here as well. I will go ahead and say that you can have picked up something on the fly from any of the sort of stores that they had.
Yeah, well, Hamid certainly bought one at some point.
You will have been able to pick up a torch, like an actual electric torch. It has a handle on the side. If you wind it, it will sort of charge it up and get it brighter. It is as bright as a normal flame-lit torch. It's not particularly effective.
That is the handle is connected to a tiny whip. So
genuinely, what happens is the handle on the side aggravates the elemental within to generate more power. Mechanically speaking, it holds charge for 10 rounds. It is a full round action for 3 rounds just to wind it up again. It's very inefficient.
Wow. Yeah.
But it's basically all they've got unless you're using magical means. And as far as you can tell further in... They were using magical means.
Yeah.
This is intended for a non-magical, quick once-through emergency measure. It's very bulky as well, so you're not able to move at any kind of speed carrying it.
I've got dark vision.
Well, of course, you're going to be fine. So you are at the edge of the explored areas in a FEMA room. There are three tunnels leading off from where you are. The stone still looks worked, although occasionally there's a broken flagstone and a huge amount of dirt. You've walked past the odd red-taped cave-in area.
So I think we're safe from being found now, probably not going to get discovered.
So I'm guessing that what we're trying to do is find the ordinators, because I suppose if they're breaking in there, we can follow them to Notre Dame.
Yeah,
see what they're up to.
See if if anyone's left anything behind, if they've been down here using this as a way to get between the two, but sort of a bit away from the dig maybe, but we can explore a bit more carefully now and see what's around and see if there's anything that seems that like it might not be connected to the dig.
All right. Well, let's just head straight forward for as long as we can, and then see.
Think that might be the best direction?
Well, we don't know where else, do we?
Well, I've got a compass.
What? Well, great. East.
Yeah. I'll get the compass out and look at the little pointer and go east.
Okay. The stone, over time, reaches worse and worse condition. What started as a little bit of water damage, so like most of the statues are all right, that one's a bit creepy, becomes universal. What used to be human remains in these alcoves has deteriorated to mush. You've no idea what it was. It's wet. Very, very wet. In fact, it's reaching the point where you're seeing small amounts of water seeping through holes in the walls. The flagstones are giving way to unworked stone occasionally, so you'll see a tunnel leading off, and it's leading into just rock. You keep going. The bits that you are on still appears to be, roughly speaking, worked stone, and it leads deeper and deeper underground. Give me a perception check, all of you.
9.
9?
17.
17?
26.
Sasha, you can spot. Hamid, you might have the hint of this, but not enough to be sure if it's not your imagination. The further east you get, the worse the smell becomes. Really vile odour. Multiple layers of awfulness. It's not just like, ooh, that smells a bit like poo. And you just get the occasional waft. You get the impression that it's a really powerful smell at a great distance, which is why the others may not have noticed it yet, because you just happen to get a freak breeze and things like that.
Guys, are there any demon-y things that, emit stench as they're... Because there's... I mean, I don't know, I swear, that was rotting flesh or something, but there's no flesh down here, so, is there some kind of...
dead bodies,
But they're the old bones. The bones have melted, Hamid. They're not going to smell. Or at least only kind of weird...
Well, we should...
Weird bone wet smell.
We should be careful.
But is there any kind of monster that... rotten thing?
Not one that I can think of. Zombies? What do zombies smell like?
Probably zombies.
Helpful.
So, undead. I don't know. I've not come into much contact with you.
All right, well, let's just be quiet and keep the torch low. Try not to... So if people are looking and...
Can all of you give me another perception check?
8.
26.
24.
Heading down. For a start, all of you begin to notice the smell. And yeah, it is rank. It is basically as bad a smell as you can make. You also notice that the quality of the stonework has deteriorated to the point where it's starting to look unsafe. You'll walk past and even though you've been quite quiet, there's a trickle of stone. In fact, Sasha noticed that a trickle of stone that starts small starts getting quite large, and a little chunk of brickwork falls.
We should go back this way.
Everyone
go back this way.
A reflex save.
Okay.
Ooh, I'm going to get squished again.
4.
4 for Zolf.
13.
13 for Hamid.
8.
8. Okay. So that trickle of stone...
Sasha, you're supposed to be the dodgy one every time.
You will only take half damage.
Yeah. True. So that small trickle of stone finally releases what looks like some kind of keystone in the ceiling, something that's been there a while. It drops. And then all of the arch around it begins to cave in. What's worse, a large amount of water is coming with it. It's not a huge, sinking ship amount, but clearly the water has eroded all of the cement between those bricks. And they drop. And they drop on all of you. Each of you, roll me, because I can't roll that many dice. 2d6. Sasha, I will count this as something that you're able to take half damage on because of the nature of the fall.
Yay! Reflex!
9.
Mm-hmm.
5.
7. You round up or down?
In this system, you almost always round down.
Okay, cool.
You all take that in damage. Yeah. It is falling rock, dirt, etc. And you've all found yourself buried. All of you are buried. With no exceptions, there is no light, there is no sound, apart from the seeping, cloying feel of water slowly impregnating all of the earth around you.
I never thought I'd miss Bertie.
And what you hear is... End of episode.
Da-da-da-da.
Well, crikey, that's not fun.
I'm sure you'll all be fine, and if you're not fine, at least you're in the appropriate place.
Yep. We come pre-buried. Yay!
I feel like you're all doubting the jeopardy of the situation.
No, I'm just really depressed.
See, the second that there's not a dog here, I have to kill one of you in order to raise the stakes.
I've just, like, Sasha has nearly died so many times. I'm
you're
becoming
right.
Inured to
you're
it.
Right, that's a boring one. It'll have to be Hamid
it'll
or Zolf.
Be one of the others. Because they all expect me to die.
That's a good point. Well then, we'll wrap up there. We'll tune in next week and I'll decide which of the party has to die. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Before an interview.
Sure,
one.
Sure.
So I kept stumbling, but I always left a pause. They were like, your edit breaks are just great. I was trained well with beatings and fear.
Was just Alex's face just going, oh, I have to find that now.
But honestly, yeah, like, it's useful. As opposed to James, who I have to splice words together occasionally.
Right.
I really enjoy this game.
Well, that's good, because that means if James dies, we can keep Bertie in the podcast. Yeah. Just Franken-voice him.
Genuinely possible at this point.
Oh, God. For all of us. You could just replace
and
us all.
And you've got all his noises.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, zombie Bertie is...
I'd even add the...
It would be... If he'd actually died, it would be quite tasteless.
I'd add but, the... Like, he's...
No fun. No time for that nonsense.
We're not here for fun.
We're here for plot points. And dog butchery.
Have you ticked off enough laughs? I'm tempted. You didn't hit your laugh quota.
I'm tempted to
back
just...
to the laugh mind with you.
Ha. Ha. Ha.
Joke, it won't work on audio.
No. Screw you guys.
Hello and welcome to episode 41 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, and with me today I have... idiot.
Oh, that's our new guest. That was so rude.
Hello. Hello, idiot.
Welcome to the show.
I am the GM with no name.
Yeah, let's try that one again. Hello and welcome to episode 41 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me for yet another exciting adventure, I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas. And a yawning
insert golf. Yawning absence here.
We're a shouting...
You're ruining the illusion,
I'm
James.
Not here at all. I'm putting up the soundproofing again. I'm going back into the other room and trying... not to catch my fingers on anything. Ooh, just carry on like I'm not here. Ooh.
If anything,
such an
since we heard James, he's been louder. And
certainly more obnoxious.
But harder to attach a mic to.
Moving around. This object is mysteriously lifting up on the table and going back down again.
Go away.
You feel a certain coldness.
Go
it's
away.
Alex's attitude towards me.
Where are we? And who are you playing?
James!
I can hear you! Stop it!
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out wobegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.